and we're joined on the phone now by Bob King. He is a photographer and photo editor at the Duluth News Tribune, but he might be better known as Astro Bob. Hi, Bob.
Well, hi, Ann.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine here, sitting in a chair looking at a partly cloudy sky in Duluth.
Uh-oh. Want that to go away for this weekend,
oh,
right?
Yes. We do.
Now, you've written a blog on astronomy for the Duluth paper since 2008, but you've been an amateur astronomer with pretty impressive-sounding credentials, actually, for a long time. How did you get interested in astronomy?
Oh, well, I got interested as a kid, and, of course, when I grew up, the space program was really underway with the Mercury and Gemini missions, and I just was curious about the sky and maybe the very first satellites, you know, like Sputnik when it went by in 1957. I may have gone out to look. I know I did in the early 1960s, and it just kind of went on from there. I just have always been curious and interested in the night sky, mm-hmm. daytime too, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. And how did you start writing a blog about it?
Well, the newspaper, of course, wanting to stay with the trends, wanted to make sure it had lots of content on its website, and so they asked some of the people at the paper, photographers, reporters, to blog if they had a particular interest in something or expertise. And so I thought, well, what the heck? I'll do one on astronomy. You know, at least that's something I know a little bit about.
That's quite a bit different from your role as photo editor, except that you take pictures of the stars too.
Every once in a while, and especially, you know, if we get a nice display of the Northern Light, you know, and I'm in the right place at the right time, then I'd love to submit that photo for possible use in the paper.
Mm-hmm. So,
or an eclipse of the moon or something like that.
Yeah.
Big time stuff.
Absolutely. So one of the reasons we wanted to talk with you this evening is because there are special meteor showers expected this weekend. Could you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, there's a shower. It's been going on, actually, since early October, but it doesn't peak until tomorrow morning. That would be Saturday morning. In the wee hours before the start of dawn, it's called the Orionid, and the name comes from the constellation of Orion the Hunter, because the meteors will appear to radiate or emanate from a point above the belt and the star Betelgeuse in Orion. You don't have to know exactly where that point is, but just from that general direction, that's where they all appear to come from. And if we have clear skies, we should see maybe 15 to 20 meteors per hour tomorrow morning. And the best time is, I hate to say this, but the best time is like after 2 o'clock.
So either you should stay up real late or get up real early.
Exactly. Well, between 2 and 6, okay, that is your best time slot. I didn't go by the rules. This morning, I got up, or prior to maximum, I got up at about 12:30, 1 o'clock. I just stayed up late, and I was able to see a little bit more than a half dozen meteors in about half an hour, 45 minutes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, they were great, all of them. I just love them. And they're so fast. They leave real short-lasting, what looks like a smoke trail behind them, but it goes away really fast. I think you'll be impressed by how quick they are, provided we have clear skies.
Uh-huh. So I looked at your blog today, and it said that you saw 7 Orionids going by at very high speed. Does that mean you made 7 wishes?
Oh, my gosh. Now you've caught me. I did not make one single wish, and I think it was because I was just too tired. But your listeners, please feel free to make as many wishes as you'd like.
Okay, good. So what go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the main thing about this meteor shower, any meteor shower, really, is not to have high expectations. It's to just go out, enjoy the night, and no matter how many you see, each one is sort of a nice special thing, you know, to watch. And to know that they're actually pieces of Halley's Comet, the famous Halley's Comet burning up in the sky.
They are?
Yes, they are.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, twice a year, the Earth crosses the orbit of Halley's Comet, once in May, and then second time in October. And when we do, we get that meteor shower because we're going through the comet's dust trail. So these little things hit the Earth's atmosphere almost exactly like you're driving in the summer and you're smacking mosquitoes with your car windshield. And then they, of course, I wish mosquitoes would flame out, but meteors burn up when they hit the air at such high speeds, and that's what you see as that flash.
That would make mosquitoes a lot more bearable, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. It would make a great display as well.
There you go. So what part of the sky, Astrobob, should we be looking for these Orionids if we go out at about 2 a.m. tonight or tomorrow morning?
Yeah, and you know what? And you can check it out earlier than that, too, in case you want to do the other end, stay up late until 1:30 or so. That's when I was out, 1:30, 2 o'clock. But if you go out on the early end, the best direction is to look towards the east, southeast. If you're more towards dawn, just look south.
Okay.
It will appear to come from any part of the sky. Those that are closer to that little radiant spot in Orion will be short meteors, little short-length ones. And the further away you look from the radiant, the longer they will appear. So you'll see all variety.
Okay. Bob, how big are these things that are, you know, streaking through the sky and we see their tails? I mean, how large are those objects?
They are really small, even though they put on a pretty impressive display sometimes. They're only about the size of grains of sand, like you see around the beaches here.
No, really?
Yeah, really tiny. But they come in so fast that all of that energy of motion is converted into pressure and heat and, you know, glowing the air. And, yeah, and then that's the end of the sand grain, of course, but you do get the beautiful flash of a meteor.
Oh, that's wonderful. I had no idea they were so little. I thought you were going to say, I don't know, a basketball or something.
Oh, my gosh, that would be lovely. If you had a basketball-sized one come in, it would probably be as bright as the full moon or something like that.
Wow.
So, I mean, they're probably not all the size of sand grains. Some might be the size of apple seeds or something like that. But
very small.
Because they're shed by comets. And comets, one of the main ingredients of comets is fine dust. So that's what we're running into.
Okay. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Bob King, known as Astro Bob, the astronomy blogger for the Duluth News Tribune. Bob, I understand that you also teach community education astronomy classes at the planetarium there in Duluth. Can you tell us a little bit about the planetarium? Because I didn't know that there was one, and I bet there are other listeners that don't know about it either.
Oh, yeah, it's always worth a visit. They have free shows on Wednesdays and Fridays, and that, I believe, is at 7 o'clock. Of course, you could just log on to Google and type in UMD Planetarium to get their schedule. But, yeah, they completely refurbished the place. They have brand new, very comfortable seating now, and they do lots more programs in the past 6 months than they have previously. They've really amped it up. So there's really something for everybody there at the planetarium. They have special shows, too, and then they do a lot of, like, if you're an educator, you can call them and get your school group in there. Just arrange for an appointment some afternoon. And it's on the UMD campus, right off of College Street, very easy to find. Really good place. A lot of nice people that run the shows and do the programs.
Mm-hmm. And what's involved in the class that you teach?
Well, I teach several times a year, and it's a 4-week, so it's 4 nights. And we always look at the sky and the constellations with the star projecting machine. Everybody loves that.
What is a star projecting machine?
Well, it's where you turn the lights down inside the big dome, and then there's a machine in the center that projects all of the constellations and the planets.
Oh, so you can practice.
Yeah, you can show the outlines of the constellations. You can show how the Earth turns, and that makes the stars move. There's lots of things you can do with that projector. And then the other shows will incorporate usually a topic. The topic is comets and asteroids this past Tuesday. And next week is Mars. So I just pick a variety of topics and use the star machine. And if it's clear, we go out and freeze ourselves while looking at beautiful things like the Andromeda Galaxy or the planet Jupiter that's up in the east time of year.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand when you went out, I guess it was this morning, looking for those meteors, you also got treated to some northern lights.
Yeah, totally surprised. Wasn't a spectacular display. And of course, folks around Grand Marais probably know exactly what a beautiful display is. This was very small, but I find a place where I have a perfect northern horizon. And sometimes I just like the subtle stuff. There were these faint green rays that just sort of tickled the horizon for about an hour. And I pulled the car right in the middle of the road, stopped, and just stood there and took a few pictures. Very beautiful.
Well, that's great. So So, Astrobob, in all your years of stargazing and looking at these different objects, what is the coolest thing you've seen?
Let's see. The coolest thing I've ever seen is when a comet broke up and the fragments of the comet hit Jupiter, and they made these big black marks in its atmosphere that you could easily see in even a small telescope. That was back in 1994.
And you saw that happen? Just
I watched it happen. Well, I didn't watch the explosions, but I saw the aftermath because the hits were on the side that you couldn't see.
Wow.
But then when Jupiter rotated, you could see these dark spots, and it really it made it a very visceral experience when you think that our planet also was hit in the past and perhaps will be again in the future by something that could cause devastation. Mm-hmm. You actually saw it in front of your eyes.
Hmm.
Spectacular.
That is pretty cool. What kind of equipment do you use?
Oh, I've got all kinds of stuff, really junky telescopes. Yeah, by the way, my cell phone is running out, unfortunately.
Uh-oh.
I hear it clicking, but the largest instrument I have is a 15-inch reflector, and with that you can do all kinds of cool things. I see spiral arms of galaxies and look at faint quasars and all kinds of things.
Well, that sounds wonderful, and I guess we'll let you go because of your phone, but I want to thank you so much for joining us this evening, and people can read your Astrobob blog at DuluthNewsTribune.com. Is that right?
They can go there, or they can just Google it, Astro space, an empty space, and then Bob, or it's out there. So, yeah, and if they have any questions, there's a comment section. Feel free to ask.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Astrobob, and happy meteor watching.
Hey, and to you too, Anne, and to your listeners. I hope it's clear enough and everybody gets to see a few.